It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous state-of-the-art Fox News headquarters in New York City. A big Tuesday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not threatening to hold Donald Trump in contempt of court, no ma'am. District Attorney Alvin Bragg now threatening Trump with jail time if he doesn't stop violating the gag order. That is the decree passed along to the judge from Alvin Bragg.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
Yeah, Trump doesn't show any signs of slowing down anytime soon, unlike the guy who is currently in charge, who might benefit from speeding it up.
You know, the rapidly rising
I think what I'm trying to say is put on a poncho because it's going to be a radio food fight today. 888-788-9910. Byron Donald's coming by. He is a current superstar congressional representative down from the great state of Florida. He's going to be joining us in the next hour. And retired NYPD Inspector Paul Morrow, also here to talk crime and non-punishment. If you look around the country right now, we're dealing with record levels of migrant crime. Sadly, no one is going to jail because a lot of these woke bail reforms.
Everything woke turns to
so be a bit of a chippy day, but we'll begin with some you and me time. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be a Libertarian. You could be an Independent. You could be calling in from anywhere in the world. For instance, if you were the spouse of someone in Hamas, you could call. I don't know that we'd speak out, but I think we'd give it a go. Be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a There it is. Happy Tuesday. And a happy Tuesday for me. I'm in a pretty peppy mood. Sadly, if you were following me on social media or you follow Jenny Failla, our cat died. Daisy the cat, who was 19 years old. Rare Daisy. Phenomenal kitty. Has been with me for every significant moment of my adult life. We got these cats, Daisy, Elvis, and Ace, when they were veritable field mice. We got them on Jenny's parents' farm all the way back in 2005. And the mommy cat had moved them over to the flower beds to get them away from the cows across the street. And I fed them immediately. At which point Jenny's dad walked out and was like, you know, you got to take these cats. These are your cats. That's how it works. Because if you feed them, they keep coming back. So lo and behold, we showed up to the Jenny's parents' house in Wapakoneta with no cats. We left with 3 cats and a petting zoo ensued from there on in. And we had Daisy in our life. She outlived her brother Ace, who ran away 2 years in, put out a solo album, left the band. Elvis, the cat, gave us 15 years before he left the building. And Daisy made it a robust 19 years and was a very active cat. I mean, you know, she died yesterday. She essentially had a heart attack climbing onto a bed. But she was a very active and nocturnal kitty up until the day she died. Like Sunday night, I was outside. I had just gotten back from Huntsville, Alabama. So you know how that works. I immediately, when I get back from the road, pour a Michter's whiskey, light a cigar, sit on the patio.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Well, it's a great way to go through a Sunday night if you've just taken a few flights and met a few hundred people or 1,000 people or whatever the hell you meet on the road. And we usually regroup on Sunday nights, and the cat's a big part of that. So she was active Sunday night. She was out in the backyard. She was all night long nuts, climbing onto the bed, running around the house, and she always shook you down for treats. Like, no matter what hour of the night you got up at, Daisy was 19, and row, she'd just yell at you, row, and she wanted treats, and she'd lead you down to the kitchen, and you'd hand her some cat treats, and, you know, she'd come back in the living room like an hour later, sometimes 30 minutes later, and meow at you again for more treats. Not because she was fat, but because I don't think she remembered eating them. She was old. She was very much like the president.
Biden's lost his marbles.
Yeah, Daisy might have had dementia, but she was having a good time with her dementia, and she made it a storied 19 years, a dominant 19 years. She was there for the marriage to my wife. She was there for the birth of my lousy kid. you know.
Shut your mouth.
She stuck around through, you know, 7 years of full-time cab driving. A billion showbiz disasters, spectacular failures of the highest order. And she was certainly there for a good amount of success towards the end. But the constant throughout all of it is we love the cat. She was great. She was a big part of the vibe in our house. And if you have pets, you know what that's like, man. So a little bit of a heavy heart. But, you know, the truth is 19 years, 19 climate-controlled years for a cat that was born on a farm is about 18 years longer than the average cat lasts in that scenario.
That's true. That is true.
So Daisy had a good run, and certainly we're sad to see her go. And the only point of clarity I would offer to go with it is anybody who tells you, like, I'm not a cat person, well, then they never had a cat like Daisy, who was just a phenomenal first ballot Hall of Fame cat. So a round of applause for the kitty. And that concludes the cat eulogy portion of the show.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
We already did, Mr. President. But back to Trump for a second, which is where we find ourselves. The immediate contrast being drawn in this moment right now. There's the Trump trial going on. You know, Alvin Bragg says if Trump keeps truth socialing about the judge, he's going to throw him in jail. They desperately want that to happen. This is where Trump's impulse control can work against him because I don't think he can shut up. Now, conversely, the more people who pay attention to this trial, the better off Trump is going to be. And the reason I say that is because if you become familiar with the particulars of this trial, you realize what a legal farce it is. Okay, first of all, the relationship with Stormy Daniels. Okay, this is stemming from a report that Trump had sex with a porn star.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
Well, you could have read about it as far back as 2006 because that's when the relationship allegedly took place. The hush money agreement that she was ultimately paid to sign came just prior to the 2016 election, which means the offense in question is about 18 years old. The plea deal itself is almost 9 years old. Okay, and he used private money to pay her off because, to be clear, it is a federal crime to use campaign funds to pay for a personal agreement, which means they're trying him because he used personal funds. But he would be absolutely guilty under the eyes of the law if he used campaign funds.
I think he's got a point.
So what it all comes down to in the end is they were going to indict him either way. Okay. This is not about the law. This is about the guy. This is about what they're trying to do to influence the outcome of the 2024 election. Okay. And they want Trump on trial in as many jurisdictions as possible because, number one, it limits his ability to campaign. But number two, okay, they thought that having him under so many different indictments would turn people off and make them more likely to support Biden.
Wrong.
Okay, now this was a strategy born out of the fact that nobody in the liberal elite media and no one in the upper echelons of the Democratic Party ever has conversations with everyday rank and file Americans. If they did, they would have realized what a fool's errand this was. Okay, people, can I just be clear with you? Nobody cares about like January 6th. Nobody cares. They don't care. The most shocking thing about January 6th is what the price of gas was that day. Seriously, the most shocking thing about January 6th is the price of groceries that day. Okay, yes, it was not good to see people in the Capitol. Some of them there recreationally walking around, others flat out attacking cops, others feds that were dressed in plain clothes. But the reality is there's no rehabilitating that day because you can't storm the Capitol. You can't. Okay, we condemned it that day. Just the same as we condemned the attacks on the White House in the summer of 2020, where they had to treat hundreds of Secret Service agents who were hit with bricks and rocks. And the crowd got so violent at the White House that Trump was ushered into a bunker, and the Democrats began derisively referring to him as Bunker Boy. Okay, the point is, I've been condemning political and violence before it became cool on January 6th. Okay, there is a double standard when it comes to political violence. Democrats weren't condemning okay, the burning of police stations in the summer of 2020 because they thought it was going to make people more likely to vote Democrat.
Tell them like it is.
Okay, but January 6th, just the same, they tried to weaponize that politically and say that it wasn't just Trump or the Republicans at the Capitol. It was everybody who's ever pulled a voting lever for a Republican. They're white supremacists. It's an insurrection. They were trying to overthrow the government, none of which is actually true.
Democrats are so full of crap.
No, yeah, it was, you know, protests that got out of control. But they weren't overthrowing the government. okay? They were not about to swear in the guy in the Chewbacca hat as our president. That's not where we were that day. We were somewhere bad, okay, that we hope to avoid in the future. But the Democrats really do think, because they only talk in their own little echo chamber, their own bubble, okay, where they do not encourage diversity of thought. So they really do think the average American gets out of bed every morning and thinks about January 6th. Okay, I promise you, they don't. They just don't care. Okay, they don't have the luxury of caring. They don't. Okay, the price of groceries is up 25% when you talk about the core products since Biden took office. Price of gas is up 52% since Biden took office. Okay, when you talk about what's happening at the border, then there are people legitimately concerned that we could be bumbling our way into World War III. You realize January 6th is like not a top 50 priority for anyone pulling a voting lever. You know, it might be if you watch MSNBC all day and you've convinced yourself that all the confirmation bias they're feeding you is true and that the world really is racist and the only one who can save us is you because everybody else is too busy getting us killed from climate change and white supremacy to give a damn. But the reality is the average person goes into a voting booth. They don't pull a lever based on personality. They don't pull a lever based on who you slept with 10 years ago. They don't pull a lever based on what protesters did at the Capitol 4 years ago. They pull a lever based on a very simple metric. Is my life better under this guy than it was under the last guy? And when it comes to Joe Biden, you know,
the answer would be no.
The answer is no. So all of this brag stuff targeted at dragging down Trump will ultimately help him if more people pay attention to it, because when they see the particulars of each case, you realize how absurd it is. You know, you've actually heard, it's like you think of the Trump real estate deal. You've heard Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, a billionaire investor. You've heard Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan, a billionaire investor, say, hey, whoa, what Trump did with his real estate assets is status quo. We do it. We all do it. The banks approve it. Okay, they do their due diligence. They sign off on these loans. And there's no aggrieved party. Nobody's missed a payment. Nobody's been defrauded. Nobody's claiming victim status. Yet they charge the guy anyway. Okay, when you pay attention to the crimes and you realize they're being charged on a level where there's no victim, okay, you realize that there is a victim. And it's the American people, because people are losing faith in our justice system. And we all suffer as a consequence of that. But that's what's happening in Lower Manhattan right now. And they love it on the left because they can crow about Trump being on trial, which is a lot more convenient than crowing about what's actually happening to the country in this moment. You know, I'm going to give you, when we come back from break, I'm going to give you an exchange between Ducey and John Kirby yesterday about the Middle East. Okay, so in the Middle East, as you know, we're paying Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, tens of billions of dollars.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
And of course, they're using it to subsidize proxies who attack us and our allies in the region. Well, the other night, they launched the attacks themselves. And yes, we successfully shot down a lot of the missiles. Okay, but the reality is we're only in this position because we're paying them to shoot at us. Okay, that is a weapons-grade stupid, a staggering level of incompetence. Okay, that if we're discussing it on a national level, okay, if we're talking about the indifference to the human suffering caused at the border, if we're talking about the indifference where the White House tells you the economy's fine, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, when you have less money and the goods cost more and you're making less, okay, if we're having that honest conversation, these people don't have another 4 minutes in office, let alone another 4 years. So the Trump trial is a convenient diversion, but that diversion might just come back to bite them, because if they pay attention too much, they're going to realize what's really going on in this country, none of which is Trump's fault.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
You're listening to the most addictive show on the radio.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T, because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts. Might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process, because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom? And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy? Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. And prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required. Required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
It is Fox Across America. Jimmy Fail, your radio buddy, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Byron Donald's coming up on the show today. That's exciting. Paul Morrow going to be here as well. We're pumped up to talk to him. It's a wild time in our politics. The Trump trial playing out on our air as we speak. They're a little excited about it over at MSNBC. Let me just listen to this clip. It's clip 33.
But we're talking about Trump. It's always got a super gross element to it.
And I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact for so long there's been this desire, there's been this indignation about his lack of accountability. Well, it is happening.
We think of ourselves as American exceptionalists, but we actually are not. And it is nice to see that this day has finally arrived.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
It's nice to see that this day has finally arrived. Let me give you the rest of this montage, because this is the varsity. This is Maddow. Okay. This is, you know, Jen Psaki shows up.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
Maybe. We got Joy Reid, too, though.
Joy Reid is a race-baiting loser.
A lot of people feel that way. Listen to this clip, clip 34.
It took us a long time to get here. The origin of this case is, you know, ahead of the 2016 election. It's been a long time. That in itself is a bit of a scandal.
I was just watching the reports today and thinking about just the sheer psychological torture. I really mean that.
I was struck by the visual of him in the courtroom. Obviously, cameras are not in the courtroom. We didn't see it, but we did see the photo of him in the courtroom. He looks small in that photo, rough, a little rough in that photo.
Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle.
That was absolutely dreadful.
And to think, I played a clip of Lincoln saying Joy Reid is a race-baiting loser. Her comment, Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle. I mean...
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
She's just so lazy. Just such a loser. He's racist. Multicultural. He doesn't care. Okay. When Rachel Maddow says this case has been a long time coming, yeah, what she doesn't mention is that three separate prosecutors passed on the case.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what they all had in common? They were all liberals.
Oh, wow.
So the fact that this is actually coming is not like a sign of justice. It's just a sign that we're living in the death of shame. Okay, the desperation behind this attempt to take out Trump this way and the fact that it's not going anywhere in the polls, I think is amazing. But you're really getting a window into who these people are based on how they characterize what you're seeing. Okay, listen to this Scarborough clip, clip 36.
You're voting for a guy like that? You live in the most powerful, greatest country on the face of the earth? And you're voting for a guy that tells you every day that America sucks? What's wrong with you? Who raised you? What history did you read?
That's it.
Like, where are you from? Because you may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by. and you don't read. Because if you read, Mike, the facts are clear. And I'm getting tired of saying this to people who claim to be patriotic but hate America, because they're always running America down. They're always trashing America. They're always saying America's horrible. Its democracy doesn't work. We need a dictatorship if Donald Trump doesn't win.
Oh, shut up, woman.
It's so embarrassing. Is there a single person in the place saying we need a dictatorship if Trump doesn't win? No, he's such a sad clown. There it is, Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. It's Tuesday. The world's on fire. We're roasting some radio marshmallows. I'm delirious because I was out all night with Dog the Bounty Hunter fighting crime last night. So I got to tell you this. This is crazy. Dog stopped by yesterday and did the tail end of the radio show. He's got a new book out, The Nine Lives of Dog. It's about his evolution from a criminal to a bounty hunter to a guy who has repaired his relationship with God and is trying to find salvation for a lot of the people he arrests. He is, you know, very much a man with a purpose. But last night we got into my Bronco. They jacked it up with all kinds of GoPros and cameras and microphones and everything. And they just let us loose. He and I all alone on the streets of New York.
That can't be good.
No, it was incredible. Like, I got in. No producers around, nobody to kind of oversee us, nothing to promote, just a cab driver who knows where to find illegal stuff and a guy who knows where to find criminals. And we just kind of got into it. We talked about things we've seen, you know, the way we spot certain stuff and, you know, talked a lot about bounty hunting and a lot about the purpose of, you know, that work and how we got into it and everything in between. But I am fascinated. We shot, you know, hours worth of footage. It's all going to make it onto my TV show at some point. But we legit straight up have to watch it all and figure out what can be aired on television because it got deep. Like, we really, really got after it. Like, when it was all over, it's really funny. He got out and we were talking on the sidewalk. 6th Avenue, like 2 in the morning, whatever the heck time it was. And he was like, man, that was like the most real thing I've ever done, brother. Aloha. And he is like such a badass. And it was so cool to hear the case made for Law and Order from this other angle, not the political one we're hearing, just from the angle of how a lot of the guys saving the day are trying to save the week. They're trying to save the month. They're trying to save the year. What I mean by that is the goal of locking up a criminal, okay, is not as succinct as, all right, well, he did it, punish him. It's he did it, how can we create less of him in the future? Meaning, how can we make him less likely to do this again? How can we make society less likely to suffer from his poor judgment? And it's so fascinating to hear about that greater good aspect of policing that goes beyond the individual bus, the individual prosecution. And yes, it was articulated to me in terms that can't be used on the radio. I don't know how much of them will not be bleeped out on TV, but it was a real conversation that we had on the mean streets of New York last night.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
I don't know that it was an Antoine Dobson level of real. That's an old news clip. But we had a really intense time, and I'm a little loopy from the whole thing. And, of course, I came home to find out my 19-year-old cat, Daisy, had chased that big laser pointer in the sky. Yeah, there she went. She had a good run. 19 years for a cat is like 110. And you're certainly not happy to see her go. But if you have some perspective, you do understand. I mean, she's just a great cat and a Hall of Fame run. So we're very thankful for Daisy. Very thankful for Dog. I had a dog and a cat experience last night. But I bring this up because the whole cat and dog chase game that we've all seen play out in our houses was very much on display in the White House yesterday. So John Kirby took to the podium yesterday because it was a varsity game. okay? What a varsity game means is whenever the stakes are high for the White House, they try to minimize Karine Jean-Pierre's presence at the podium. They let her out there yesterday, but they tried to minimize.
She is so bad at her job.
Because she is obviously terrible at what she does. She's really bad at communicating and answering things factually. And if you remember last week when O.J. Simpson died, they expressed their condolences to O.J. and his family and said nothing about the victims. I mean,
you don't have a clue.
I mean, understand. You'd have to be pretty clueless to think that was an acceptable response to the death of O.J. Simpson. But you're talking about a White House where I'm fairly confident Joe Biden thinks O.J. Simpson is Bart Simpson's brother. I don't, you know, we love the cartoon. He was great. For real, this White House thinks the White Bronco was John Elway. They have no idea. They have no idea. But the point is, when there's a varsity game and the stakes are high, they don't really want KJP out there. They put Kirby out there. He's the Pentagon spokesperson. And it's in those moments that you realize that KJP really was like a diversity hire. It's not to say there aren't millions of black women who could be doing this job incredibly well. It's that the point in this White House of checking boxes is to just get someone who fits the bill. It's not about meritocracy. And we know this. Why? Because they flat out told us where we want to have a black female vice president. That's nobody else should apply. First of all, that's racist. We want a black female press secretary. Nobody else should apply. First of all, under the rules of the law, that is racist. It's illegal. Okay, but that's what they did. Even when they made Pete Buttigieg the transportation secretary. Understand, Pete Buttigieg, as the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, was so bad at maintaining the roads that he had the local nickname Pothole Pete. His name was Pothole Pete.
Pete Buttigieg is pathetic.
That's what the neighbors thought when it came to handling the roads. But lo and behold, because they wanted a gay transportation secretary, they took Pothole Pete and put him in charge of every single road in America.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Okay, because he checked a box. Okay, but ultimately we've seen infrastructure encounter massive adversity under his watch. We've seen the prioritization of pretend things like racist roads. Do you remember that? Do you remember when he took the Notice to Airmen, the NOTAM flight advisory software, and renamed it Notice to Air Persons? I mean, come on.
You cannot be serious.
Really? Okay, if you're a pilot tasked with the lives of 300 other people and you can't hear the term NOTAM without thinking someone's been misgendered and it's an egregious offense, then there's no way you're emotionally capable. You could be responsible for the lives of 300 other people. I mean, dude.
That's true. That is true.
But anyway, these are the things they've prioritized, which is why the country's a mess to the extent that it is. On a big day at the White House, the press secretary is a backup. They don't want her holding the ball with the game on the line. So here is John Kirby, there to speak on behalf of the administration in response to the events of the weekend between Iran and Israel. Here is Ducey with the first question, clip three.
Has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about...
And they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region.
And
let me finish. He added military resources to the region right after October 7th. And then when we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region.
You gotta do better than that.
I mean, start here. So Ducey says the president's policy is don't, but they did. So what now? Kirby's response is, well, we've added a lot of resources to the region. Okay, but that's nothing. That's nothing. Okay, I'm not trying to get us into World War III here either. But you understand when you say don't, and they do, if they're not punished, then they don't take you seriously.
He knows what he's talking about.
Shooting down their missiles is not shooting them. Okay? And again, I don't need us to get into a hot war, okay, but we're essentially in a hot war. And the reality is we have no form of deterrence because they have run the stop sign in front of the cop every single time and nobody is getting a ticket. So you realize when you hear something like, when you hear something like this, okay, you're winding up with a deal where the more we say don't, the less we take, you know, they take our response seriously, the more emboldened other people become. Let me give you more of it, though, because it goes beyond the word don't, okay, because they start to talk about other aspects of the Biden presidency, specifically the fact that we're giving them tens of billions of dollars. Clip 7.
Now that we know that the Iranians do not listen to President Biden's public warnings, is there any regret here about unfreezing billions of dollars for Iranian leaders during the president's administration?
What unfreezing are you talking about?
He unfroze billions of dollars.
For Iranian leaders?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think so.
Okay,
so first of all,
it's for humanitarian purposes, but doesn't that...
But you don't believe me.
Well, doesn't that free up money for them to spend on other stuff? Where do you get the money for an unprecedented number of munitions to fire at Israel?
So first of all, I'm betting if they're sitting in Tehran, they're taking it seriously when President Biden says he's going to defend Israel. We put skin in the game, a whole heck of a lot of it, and knocked almost everything out of the sky. So I'm betting they're taking it pretty seriously. And as for this unfreezing, none of that fund, none of those funds, funds set up in an account, by the way, by the previous administration, goes directly to the supreme leader of the IRGC, can only be used for humanitarian purposes, and we're watching that account very, very closely to make sure that that's what happens.
But do you understand, first of all, okay, when it comes to the money, can't go to the lead.
You are so full of sh**.
It's a dictatorship. Okay, they're the ones that control the money, but just stick with me, okay? Because this is where the stupidity, if you have any, okay, just an ounce of intellectual curiosity, okay, you look at just an inch beyond what he just told you. We're watching that account very closely, and we know the money isn't coming out from that account. Okay, great. And let's assume, okay, that he's telling us the truth, which is a reach with this administration. But let's assume the money isn't coming out of that account. Okay, now let's look at the country no differently than you'd look at yourself. Okay, if you got a checking account and you got a savings account. Okay, and Iran, to be very clear, has multiple accounts. They have thousands of accounts as a government. You dig? Okay. If someone puts $10 billion into your savings account, it absolutely 100% influences how willing you are to spend what's in your checking account. So you can tell me, well, yeah, they're the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. They chant death to America all day. But the $10 million we give them in savings is not the money they use to attack us. Okay, but I mean, do you understand in that moment?
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay, it's just semantics. We gave them $10 billion. They bought a bunch of rockets and attacked us. Okay, whether it came out of checkings or savings or somebody's deferred college plan or they raided their 401k, the point is they were sitting around with no money to attack us, and then this administration rolled into town with a checkbook.
Well, we're moving on.
And understand, when they did that, because of our domestic energy policy, Iran also went from $4 billion in oil reserves to $71 billion in oil reserves. So you can debate the semantics of which account they use to buy the rockets, but the point is they're only buying the rockets because we gave them the money.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
But everything you need to know about how other administrations don't take us seriously can be summed up in the political calculation to all of this, which is so brazen. So here is Karine Jean-Pierre, okay? They bring in the second string after Kirby does all the heavy questions. She's asked about a funding bill for Israel. Flat out says what? They will not support a standalone bill for Israel. Standalone bill, meaning all of the money in the bill goes to Israel. We're not voting on anything else. We're not voting on, you know, whether we need to subsidize more transgender dog catchers or two-spirit goldfish adoption. We're not doing any of that. This is just a bill for Israel's defense. The money goes to Israel. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre flat out admitting the president won't sign a standalone bill for Israel. Why won't he sign a standalone bill for Israel? Because if it's only about Israel, then they can't squeeze all of their pet projects into the bill.
This is politics as usual.
And when our enemies realize that, they go, oh, this isn't even the priority. They're just trying to get funding for other stupid stuff. Understand, this is an administration that passed an Inflation Reduction Act that spent $0. $0 reducing inflation. Okay? The Inflation Reduction Act was a climate change bill, and they bragged about it the minute they passed the bill.
What a fraud.
That's what they did. Okay? Inflation has gone up since the bill was passed. But here's a newsflash. It was never meant to bring it down. But here's Karine Jean-Pierre telling the truth to the world. Okay, this isn't really about Israel. It's about anything else we can squeeze into it. Clip 9.
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that they the needed aid that they obviously need to fight. You see what's happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that they need. We saw what happened in Israel just over the weekend, and the leadership that this president has shown. It would actually not help them if we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
You are lying your ass off.
So it wouldn't help them in a standalone bill, meaning if we passed a bill that just gave the money directly to Israel, that wouldn't help them in this.
Come on, don't bullshit.
No, what you need to do is you need some of the money to flow through other governments, throwing a couple of bucks for Iran, maybe some climate reparations for some other country. That's what's actually going to help us get things done. I mean, dude.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
Tackling issues of the day in an easy way.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There you go, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're reaching across the pond. Linda's over in France. Linda!
Hey, girl. How you doing?
It has been a minute, girlfriend. How's the Beaujolais treating
you? It has. Well, actually, remember, I like Chardonnay.
That's right.
But I really was calling to tell you I'm so sorry about Daisy.
Oh, thank you for that, sweetheartie. Did you have some kitties in your life?
Oh, I have. Well, I still have seven. I have currently six cats.
Oh, my goodness.
But I wanted to let you know that I actually named a kitten after you, Jimmy.
Stop it.
I did. No, seriously. And I was telling Michael all about it. Here's the deal is that I started listening to you when I was stuck during COVID in Dallas for 6 months. And it was the beginning of your show, 2020. Mm-hmm. And at that time, somebody had abandoned a pregnant cat. And that I took him in, and that cat had five kittens.
Oh, my goodness.
That I got to take care of for the 6 months I was stuck there. Anyway, wow. I named the five. One was Jimmy. He was, well, actually, I named one Trump. He was the one that was multicolored and orange.
Yeah.
One Jimmy. He was the one with the funky hair.
Uh-huh.
Candy, who was the name of the stripper working outside. And then Duchess and O'Malley after the aristocrat.
Well, I'm sure Jimmy and Candy get along just fine.
I'm sure.
Linda.
But the thing is, I only brought. But
I know. I know. I love you for this. I'm going to lose you to commercial break. This always happens. You call, you drop a bomb, and then we run into a break. But let's do it again soon. Say hi to the cat for me, Linda. Tell everybody in France something nice, too.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. And we are back in action for a big hour that includes Florida Representative Byron Donalds, who is coming by for a grown-up talk about everything. I mean, everything. Usually you get on the radio, you're like, all right, well, this is happening. We're going to talk about it. It's just radio whack-a-mole today. There's borders, there's court cases, there's World War III, there's an election going on, and everything in between. 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the discussion. A discussion that very much centers around one rule. Okay, it's a very straightforward talk show. Okay, we don't care. whether you vote the way we do.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. We don't care. Everybody is welcome. We are not doing a conservative talk show so much as we're doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
So 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the shindig. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Don't be a... Dude, I say it all the time. I even say it on my Saturday night TV show. I close the show with this as a reminder to the world that if you're looking out at the state of things, we don't need more Republicans. We don't need more Democrats. We just need less... If you could do that, if you could do that, it would be a significant step forward.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
So in this hour, as we get underway, okay, we got Donald's coming by. That's going to be great. Always fun. We always have a laugh, you know. And there's this effort being made now. Two people. House is trying to get rid of two people right now. They're trying to get rid of Mayorkas. The impeachment is ongoing. And they're also trying to get rid of Mike Johnson, okay, the House Speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to vacate before the break. Thomas Massey now says he'd be down to get rid of Mike Johnson as well. To be honest, the Republicans have made themselves look really silly. If you're on your fourth or fifth or God knows how many speakers it's going to be by the time the election rolls around, you're not really making a convincing case down ballot for your nominee at the top of the ticket. You're not really... Okay, as bad as we think the country is, okay, you can't run on, well, nothing could be as bad as them, okay? You're just admitting to incompetence. So I don't know how this circus is going to play out. I genuinely don't. Is Johnson going to leave? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the case. I also don't think, Mayorkas is going to get thrown out. I think they might go through with the impeachment, and I think they should. You know, if you talk about the dereliction of duty we've seen at the southern border, okay, there's very much a situation in play where no one is doing their job, okay? There's nobody doing anything. So you've got this humanitarian crisis that's overwhelmed the border. It's overwhelmed the sanctuary cities who didn't want to take people to begin with. And it's put us in this situation where, you know, we're passing all kinds of funding bills for Israel and Ukraine and things in between, but there's really not a lot being done for you and me.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
It's bananas. Okay, it is. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the Trump stuff as well, because that trial is in day two now. And we've got this reality that the star witness in this Trump trial is Michael Cohen. Okay, so this whole case hinges on whether or not a jury is going to believe Michael Cohen, who is a convicted perjurer, meaning he has been charged for lying under oath. Now they're bringing him out as a star witness, saying, you've got to believe this guy. No, this is, you got to believe this guy.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, I mean, it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. Here is Cohen over the years. Here's Cohen pro-Trump in 2017, all the way up to becoming anti-Trump when he knew there was a contract in it for him at CNN. Clip 38.
I will be in D.C. and in New York, anywhere Mr. Trump deems necessary. I'll be there.
I did not want to go to the White House. I was offered jobs.
Not only is Donald Trump not a racist, he believes that all people are part of one race, the human race.
I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist. He is a con man, and he is a cheat.
The words the media should be using to describe Mr. Trump are generous, compassionate, principled, empathetic, kind, humble, honest, and genuine.
He is capable of behaving kindly, but he is not kind. He is capable of committing acts of generosity, but he is not generous. He is capable of being loyal, but he is fundamentally disloyal.
This guy will say anything.
Do you understand? So I play you a clip 2016. The words the media should be using to describe Trump are generous, compassionate, principled, empathetic, kind, humble, honest, and genuine. Then the response when he gets hired at CNN is the complete opposite. So essentially, Trump's paying him, he's a good guy. CNN's paying him, Trump's a bad guy. That's who Michael Cohen is. So there's no way to take him at face value on anything he says, which is one of the many reasons why legal experts say the case is legally absurd. Here's Jonathan Turley, as good of a legal analyst as there is in the world. Clip 39.
Everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it. You have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
Wow.
And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
I mean, think about that. A serial perjurer is now the star witness in the case. That's what they're going. No, Michael Cohen, he's going to move the needle.
Not even close.
But understand, the goal here, number one, is not to get a conviction in the court of law. It's to get a conviction in the court of public opinion. Oh, look at this Trump guy. He's always on trial. It's always something with him. I just want him to go away so all this stuff will die down. But here's a newsflash. You go away tomorrow, stuff isn't going to die down because this is the playbook. Whoever the Republican nominee is, they get treated like Trump. Okay, Trump obviously plays into this a little more because he brings a lot of baggage to the situation. So it's a lot easier to vilify Trump than it is a guy like Ron DeSantis or a Tim Scott or, you know, any of a lesser known quantity. Okay, but Trump being who he is, it's already baked into the cake for a lot of Americans. So this hysteria, this manufactured hysteria that greets him everywhere he goes, it is to some extent effective for the Democrats. And I say that why? Because here in New York City, okay, a town that is 96% liberal, okay, they can't get him a fair trial. These people hate him with all the fiber in their being. So you are going to wind up with a situation where, yeah, somebody can convince, you know, attorneys of their ability to be impartial, but I don't genuinely believe anyone is. I believe, you know, at this point, our politics are so turbocharged, you know, in terms of the divide and the bitterness that Republicans or Democrats, I don't know, are truly capable of being impartial towards Trump because they see all of this as a part of a bigger conflict, which is who's going to win the next election, which is why traditionally they don't bring these cases in an election year.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, but when you factor in the reality that this is from an agreement that was signed in 2016, you see the true absurdity that this case is. You realize it could only be brought in an election year. That's the actual goal. The process is the punishment. Okay, he could have been charged for this in 2016, in 2017, in 2018, in 2019, 2020, 2021, 22, 23. They're charging him with it in 2024. Okay, is there any new evidence that emerged since then? Nope. Okay, which means they've just simply decided to do this now because there's an election going on.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
But you don't need to have a good eye because this overlaps with everything else he's being charged with. You know, the case where he overvalued or inflated the value of his business assets, these loans go back 40 years. Okay, but they're only charging him now. Okay, anything related to January 6th of the 2020 election, 2020 election means you could have charged them in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. They're charging them now again because we are in an election year.
Bingo, man, bingo.
That's why I'm telling you the biggest problem we face in this moment. You don't have to like Trump. That's not my job. I'm not in the make you like Trump business. I'm just a radio host. Okay, but understand, okay, that the bill for all of this gets paid by you and me. Because we wind up with less faith in our justice system. And you wind up with an election that's very much being interfered with at a federal level. So there's no good outcome here for any of us, whether he gets acquitted, whether he goes to jail, or anything in between. So everybody involved in this case, everybody who's pushing it on TV, is a scam.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
It's the number one children's show in the country.
He's a lot better at radio than he is being a dad.
Oh, snap.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Listen to the slick intro music. This next guest, a superstar representative from the 19th Congressional District of Florida. We're talking about Congressman Byron Donalds back on the show. Yo, BD.
Jimmy Failla, I'm here, but I got a special guest for you, so hold on 1 second.
Oh, man.
Jimmy.
Stop
it. I thought I was your favorite.
Stop. Kamek! We need better security on this phone line.
He says they need better security. Listen, Donald and I, we're just standing here, just jamming out to your intro music, having ourselves a grand old time.
Well, I do want to apologize. We played Man Eater, but it's supposed to be Them Eater in 2024.
You can't... I was going to say, Donald is very offended that it's not Them Eater.
Yeah, he
it was
left.
Man Eater,
he
so
was,
shame
yeah,
on you.
Person, birthing person eater, is I believe what we were supposed to say. So we apologize for the hurt we've
I
caused.
I got to get back to your boy.
Good stuff. Kamek, we love you, boo. Yo, BD.
Jimmy.
I love that you've gone full Chuck D and you now bring a hype man to your interviews.
Absolutely. I got to, man. This is the thing that's important.
And Kamek walks around with a clock on like Flavor Flav, does she not?
Well, she didn't wear it today, but most of the time she does, yes.
I love this. Well, hello from New York City. We were just having this debate over a Trump trial, which is an absurdity, but Trump can't actually get a fair trial on the Isle of Manhattan. It's like, imagine if Derek Jeter was trying to get a fair trial at Fenway Park. You know what I'm saying? Probably not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. The captain would be done at that point. Yeah. Look, I think, honestly, Jimmy, here's the deal. Hopefully there are just good people, and I believe there are good people on the island of Manhattan, who are going to see this for what it is, as pure politics and foolishness, and they're going to basically kick this thing and vote not guilty, because there's no underlying crime. I don't even know what the DA is going to say, because they didn't put it in the indictment. I wish they would share that with the American people, and if they won't share it with the American people, that means that they're trying to sandbag Donald Trump, which is a violation of his rights as a defendant under law. Like, this is nuts what's happening here.
No,
so you couple that with the fact that, you know, 6 months from an election, and Alvin Bragg and Jack Smith and Fannie down there in Georgia, they all want to do this mess. This is a joke, and I think the American people see right through it.
Yeah, I think the timing of it is bad. We're talking to Byron Donalds and whatever hype man he puts on the phone next. How about the Mayorkas situation? I mean, we all agree he's been derelict in his duty to actually protect the country. But do you notice a little bit of political opportunism in that the fact that they are admitting now that there is a border crisis, which is something they've been denying for 3 years, despite the fact that we've broken records in all three of those years?
Listen, this is a dumb administration. They are dumb-dumbs. I know when they were running, they told everybody that the adults are back in the room, where these are the adults who have too many DUIs and never get to work on time. That's who's running this administration. And this thing is a mess. We got to get out of this. But look, if they really think that they have the solutions to fix this, they're lying to the American people again. The fix is very clear. Put Donald Trump's policies back in place.
Yeah.
Period. Full stop. Do the executive order. Jimmy, I'm magnanimous.
Yeah.
I will write the executive order myself for the administration. But that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem right now, though, is I think for them, they look at the executive order as like an admission of defeat, because we're in this position because of previous executive orders, meaning they undid working border policies. So is it kind of a self-own for them if they actually do sign the executive order?
Yeah, but I don't give a damn, and neither does anybody else in the United States. Mm-hmm. Our people are suffering.
Yeah.
Our cities are suffering. Our Border Patrol agents, they're at the lowest morale ever. People are dying because of fentanyl, and who knows who's coming that's on the terrorist watch list that we have not caught. So if they have to deal with the fact that they have to admit culpability by signing the executive order, I ain't saying for them to go have a whole ceremony.
Yeah.
I just said sign it and move on.
Imagine that. I mean, listen, it'd be something. And it is. It's long overdue. I think what's happened for them is they kind of got used to this pattern where they didn't have to fix anything and they could count on the media telling them the Republicans were a bunch of racists. It was all Trump's fault. So just keep on voting for us. But I think the quality of life decline has been so severe under this administration that the playbook doesn't work, meaning people don't care. Like, the Trump trial is not, you know, it's not become a deterrent for Trump at the polls. And, you know, any posturing about the border isn't helping Biden's numbers either. I mean, he's in bad shape. Biden, within the actual Democratic Party, he's now polling behind Hamas.
Oh, my gosh.
It ain't good.
is that New York Times, Sienna, Jimmy? Did they come out with that poll?
Good for you. Good for you. That's New York Taxi. That's a New York Taxi poll. The methodology might be a little shaky, but you know how this works, BD.
Hey, you may not be wrong, because depending on what happens in Michigan, you know, he could be underwater to Hamas, and that's not even a joke.
No,
that is a fact.
No, it's crazy. And then when you see people that are actually, like, clogging the Golden Gate Bridge, or they're on the Brooklyn Bridge, and, you know, the level of protest you're watching, which, again, at that point is not protest. You're just taking other people hostage. OK, the White House is definitely scared to call that out because they don't want to alienate the pro-Gaza crowd. OK, which they have a lot of in their party. And I think specifically, like you said, in Michigan, Biden kind of can't afford to be steadfast with Israel. It's kind of like he's trying to have it both ways, don't you think?
Jimmy, first of all, back up. Man, I grew up in New York, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I wish I could have seen people try to block the Brooklyn Bridge. Are you kidding me? Every taxi driver was going to run them over anyway for daring to stop flowing the Brooklyn Bridge. And you already know NYPD would have cleared that thing inside of 30 seconds. Yep. But when you allow your cities to be controlled by this insanity, then you unfortunately, in these major cities, you deserve what you get, which is why I would tell voters in New York and in San Francisco, anywhere else, Chicago, you got to stop voting for these dumb people.
Yep.
They promise you the moon. They never deliver. And then you don't even get basic order, like I'm allowed to drive across a Golden Gate Bridge in order to get to work on time. This stuff is insanity.
No, it's bad. I mean, the only upside of them clogging the Brooklyn Bridge is that the Met fans can't get up there to jump off. Which is a plus.
Ooh,
you know how
Jimmy.
This works. You stop it.
I mean, it's the evil empire at all times, but come on, man.
He's standing up for the Mets. I love it. Well, listen, I think that actually that joke wouldn't play well in your district because you got a lot of New York transplants down there who are trying
to. Yeah, but not Mets fans. There's only seven of those.
Oh, man. I love that you called out my joke and then you dunked over it. Good for you. you still got it. The Chuck D of talk radio. Give my best to the rest of the crew. By the way, I'll be down there. I'm doing my show live from the Correspondents' Dinner next Saturday. So if you find yourself anywhere near the red carpet, we'll reach out. You can come do the show if you have a few minutes.
Okay, definitely, Jimmy. Take it easy, man.
Good stuff. BD, there he goes. The legendary Byron Donalds might see the champ in the swamp next Saturday night. That's a radio exclusive. We have not announced that anywhere on the channel. But next Saturday night is the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's Saturday night, April the 27th. Fox, okay, has given me full control of the channel for 2 hours, live from the red carpet.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
That's what I said. But we're going to reward their faith in us, and we're going to put on a stellar broadcast with help from your favorite Fox personalities and some lawmakers like BD. So you better watch it next Saturday night, me at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon back here in New York City for a few more days. And then we are headed out to Fargo. This is long overdue. We've been on the flag out in Fargo, WZFG, for, my goodness gracious, got to be about 3 full years. And we've been trying to get out there, and you know, logistically, things happened. We didn't make it. But we have brought this puppy to justice, and I'll be out there Saturday. You see me for Saturday night in Fargo. If you're in the hood, get some tickets. They're selling them on the Flag website. Hooray. And, of course, if you can't make it to Fargo and you want to see one of the other thousands of dates I'm doing this summer, it is foxacrossamerica.com. Now, a lot of people will say, wow, you're touring so much. Like, when do you ever see your family? I bring them with me a lot of the times. And if they don't come, it's because, you know, Lincoln's got baseball or football or a keg party in the sump.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, the point is, you know, the fellas Fela Family, the Jackson 3. They're a big part of the brand. You hear them on the show all the time. Jenny's definitely going to be on by the end of the week. We got to talk about Daisy the Cat. Last week, we gave you inflation survival tips that were pretty good. But this week, yeah, Jenny's beat up, man. We had a good cat. Jenny was not a cat person. She grew up with no cats in her house and suddenly wound up with three of them because I fed some strays on her parents' farm. We wound up taking three kittens home, and they lasted 2 years before one of them split up and put out a solo album, Ace the Cat. He's still out there somewhere. Elvis gave us a 15-year run. He was a pain in the ass, but we loved him. He's a good cat, very talkative. He liked to give me a hard time. And Daisy, the pride of the fleet, lived to be 19. And Jenny, who was absolutely positively not a cat person, is actually very sad about the loss of this cat. Because, again, if you're not a cat person, it's because you never had a cat like Daisy. She was a really good, fun time. But right now, we're not doing cat eulogies. We have been covering the Trump case. We've been talking about the Mayorkas impeachment articles. And Katie Couric, remember her? She was, you know, a hot ticket in media for a minute. Then they made her a news anchor and, you know, on 5 o'clock news. And that was. Didn't really last very long. Katie Couric goes back to an era of sneering condescension in media. And what I mean by that is prior to the internet, okay, showing just how similar we all are, meaning, you know, we're a fully integrated society now. We all shop at the same stores, same chain restaurants in every town you go to, same coffee chains, same clothing chains, same restaurant chains, you know, everything. We all have everything. There's nothing I do in New York City that you can't do in Fargo. Except maybe walk out the door and see a pantless wino fondling himself the second you get out the door. That's just reality. Okay, that's just reality. But you can go down the block and get a Happy Meal just the way I can. So there you go. Okay, but understand, a Happy Meal, yes. A happy ending, no. Not always, anyway. But the fact remains, there are a lot of liberal elites that have spent no time in the middle of the country, have spent no time engaging people who think differently than they do. Meaning these people love diversity when it comes to the visual diversity. We need people with every skin color, every background. Great, that's fine. Okay, but they do not in any way, shape, or form, okay, prioritize diversity of opinion, diversity of thought. How we look is more important. So that sneering condescension that they have for the middle of the country is a really bad look for them now that everybody's in on the joke that we're all the same. Like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, liberals could engage in very intellectually lazy stereotypes. They thought there was no culture outside of New York and California and that the only place you could go to get a decent meal was New York. You know, only place you could go to watch a good show, California. And they referred to you guys as the flyover states. Nah, you fly over those states. You don't spend any time in them. But I will tell you, as someone who has toured the country, all of the action, all the fun is in America. Not America. America. America is where the action is.
Freedom!
And any liberal comic, like, it's funny, we had Corinne Fisher on the show 2 weeks ago. Corinne Fisher actually hosts a sex podcast. That's what she does. Her and Christina Hutchinson host a sex podcast.
Hubba, hubba.
Anyway, but she's a liberal comedian. She's not a Trumper. She's a liberal comedian. She's always welcome on my show because she's there to be funny. Comedy doesn't have a political party. If comedy's done right, it is a party. Doesn't matter how you voted. If something's funny, it's funny. Okay, and that's always the goal on Fox News Saturday night, is we're trying to highlight people who might disagree with us politically, if for no other reason than to show the world it's okay to cross-pollinate the two parties in the name of having a good time. But that being said, when Corinne was on the show, she talked at great length about how, as a female comic who grew up in New York and New Jersey, all the fun she has is in the South. All the fun she has is in middle America. Because when you go to those places where it truly is America, they're the ones with the fireworks and the beer and the good time. You know, you don't want to hang out in New York or L.A. where they've got this woke pretension, where they're yelling at you for cultural appropriation because you said it's Taco Tuesday, but you're not of Mexican descent. Who wants to live that way? It's exhausting. Okay, so you understand when you hear the lazy groupthink from someone like Katie Couric in the modern era, it really reads poorly to people in the know. Because what Katie Couric is doing, she's doing elite white lady stuff. Elite white lady, it's convenient to say, you know, they're a bunch of rednecks with no culture anywhere but hair. And that's what they think. And then they all pat themselves on the back and go, well, at least we're not them. And then they go, oh, they're a bunch of racists, you know, in other parts of the country. And then they pat themselves on the back and go, at least we're not them. And then when they see like a black guy jogging in their neighborhood, they call the cops. Like, whoa, whoa, hey, what's going on here?
That's just how white folks will do you.
I mean, it's one of my favorite stories ever, and it doesn't get reported on enough. It's one of my favorite stories ever, is when Black Lives Matter, the organization, ripped off all the white people, and they capitalized on all of that white guilt in the summer of 2020, and all of the cul-de-sac white ladies, you know, went out and spent their husband's money on donating to Black Lives Matter and proving to themselves that they weren't racist. Okay, what did Black Lives Matter do? The organization went out, and instead of like starting, you know, bail funds or justice reform funds, they spent all the money on mansions for themselves and their families. Woo! Which was great, and I loved it so much. But the reason it becomes even funnier is not because of the grift, because they ripped off wealthy elites who are stupid. It's because when they bought their Beverly Hills mansions, all of the white people who donated to Black Lives Matter suddenly began calling the cops on them when they showed up in their neighborhoods. And it's the funniest thing you've ever seen. Because there's a duality to the ridiculousness. The Black Lives Matter people ripped them off. Okay, but the white people donating also showcased their racism in full form. By showing they were never on board with this cause to begin with. Black Lives Matter. And this is, do you remember Lincoln saying this on my show in the summer of 2020? He's like, every single cul-de-sac, every single home in suburbia that has a Black Lives Matter or a Hate Has No Home Here sign on the front lawn is basically putting it there so they don't get a brick thrown through their window. And what did Lincoln famously say on my show? It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard on my radio show. He's like, you know, all the people who say hate has no home here, the minute you find out or they find out you disagree with them politically, they're like, I hope you die. And I'll never forget him calling into the radio show and saying that, because that is the truth. The people who champion diversity do not support diversity of thought. You can't disagree with them. They want you canceled. They want you ruined. That's who they are. Okay. And a lot of this is based on this, you know, dripping condescension they have towards people in the middle of the country who disagree with them. So Katie Couric goes on Bill Maher's podcast over the weekend and starts trying to make the claim that the Trump movement is driven by anti-intellectualism.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You see, it's stupid people that support a guy securing the border and doesn't want to see their jobs stolen and shipped overseas and the country dragged in forever wars that we're paying for both sides of. Okay, no one understands how principled the Trump voter is. Okay, Trump isn't terribly principled himself. I mean, he's running on America First, which is a great lane to be in. But, you know, we admit every day on the show, the guy was a Democrat 10 years ago. Okay, but Trump, you know, as a businessman, as a survivor, as a guy who's a successful TV host, has a good nose for which way the wind blows. And right now is a very dire time in our country, which means America First is the smartest thing you can offer up as a politician.
He knows what he's talking about.
And his instincts tell him now is a time to be America First. And he is trying to run in that direction. Okay, the people who support Trump policies, they're aware that he tweeted crazy stuff. They're aware that he misbehaved in the aftermath of the 2020 election. Okay, but they're not willing to banish him to the island of Crete for saying an election was stolen. If only because the entire Democratic Party spent 4 years telling us the election was stolen in 2016.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
So you understand, they don't look at Trump and go, perfect guy, perfect behavior, perfect verbiage. But they do look at Trump, okay, because he represents the principles that they themselves are invested in their daily lives. They want the border secure. Trump secured the border once. They want lower taxes. Trump lowered their taxes once. They want America to stop getting ripped off. Trump forced our NATO allies to pay more of their fair share. And oh, by the way, he didn't get us into any wars, which is the first time that's happened under a U.S. president in 40 years. They like that. They like a focus on the homeland, because right now we're doing everything but focusing on the homeland. But if you're hanging out in a lazy white lady group where you run on moral superiority, it's easy to dismiss this as something else, which is what Katie Couric does here, clip 45.
Socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot, and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Because again, that's her characterization of a conservative voter. Okay, people voting for Trump aren't voting because they're jealous of somebody else. They're voting for Trump because they're tired of paying 50% more at the gas pump. They're voting for Trump because they're tired of going to the cash register and paying 25% more for groceries and then being told by the White House that they're doing fine. Shut up. It's a messaging problem. You don't understand the economy. You're too dumb to realize that you having less money in the bank is somehow good for you. You're too dumb to realize that cost rising faster than wages is somehow good for you. You get it? They're not voting for Trump because they're jealous. They're voting for Trump because they're broke, because they're tired of seeing their jobs sold out, because they're tired of seeing their border left open, because they're tired of seeing the country dragged into forever wars. But what's happening is we live in this era where a lot of people on the left, their emotions are their facts. And their characterization of you, they consider it valid in this debate. To Bill Maher's credit, a guy who's trashed Trump as much as anybody, and is certainly pivoting away from the far left, if only because he knows he can't have their brand represent his brand.
They're crazy.
And he doesn't want to own men can have babies. He knows better. He doesn't want to own five-year-olds are trapped in the wrong body because they can't feel that way unless their parents told them they were. So to his credit, he calls it out a little bit. Clip 46.
The people loved him and what he was saying. Not to defend Trump, but to defend the people who still vote for him because what they see on the other side to them is even more dangerous because it's very closer to home. My kid is coming home from school and he thinks he's a racist. He's five. What have you been telling him? Those kind of things are what they say, that's why I'm voting for Trump.
Okay. There's a lot of reasons they're voting for Trump. But yeah, they absolutely don't want their five-year-old kid being told at school he's a racist because he isn't. They certainly don't want him being told he's trapped in the wrong body, okay, because he isn't, unless your parents are beating that into your skull every day. Oh, Snookums, you didn't finish your Pop-Tart. Maybe we should cut your wang off. I think that's what's going on. And do you know how bad the mutilation of children is going to age? Like when you really look back on this era of puberty blockers, okay, and gender reassignment surgeries for minors, the mood your kid is in at the age of five, we should basically assign his body that mood from now until the end of eternity? It's barbaric. Okay, really think about that for a second. I mean, what? Telling your kid he's a racist? Telling your kid he's trapped in the wrong body?
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Okay, and that's just one side of the argument. Okay, then there's the other side of the argument, which is open borders. Okay, which is taking your tax dollars and paying off other people's student loans, even though you didn't take them out. Which is arguing to the death in Congress over how much money we give Ukraine and give Israel, but putting nothing together for our own border defense here in the homeland. Okay, there's a multitude of reasons why people are voting for Trump. But the biggest reason why is because the other party is just filled with a bunch of morons.
A show with substance and style.
This is my oldest guy in the boy band look.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
He's a good-looking Italian.
Saturday night, May 18th. Going to the Schubert Theater up in Boston, Massachusetts. It's an away game for a kid who grew up rooting for the Yankees, but it'll very much be a home game when it comes to the stand-up comedy crowd, because they're just fun-loving people. You come out to a comedy show, you just want to laugh. You don't care if the guy's a Republican. You don't care if the guy's a Democrat. You just want to have a good time. Am I going to be wearing a Yankee jersey on stage?
Yeah.
No, definitely not. That's not how this works. I don't need to get punched in the head. I pay enough money to old ladies to do that to me on Craigslist. But the point is, Saturday night, May 18th, if you are in the greater Boston area, go to foxacrossamerica.com, buy some tickets, come hang out with your main man, Jimmy Failla, and you'll meet the Fox Across America team. The Fox News Saturday Night team will be there to film it. So you'll have a little bit of that action. There'll be a meet and greet. We'll sign boobs. We'll sign butts. We'll sign books. Whatever you're into. There's really no preference there. If you're looking to break a record, the Idaho Falls crowd is currently in the lead with 12 boobs signed at one stand-up comedy event.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
I don't know that you did. But you're all welcome to get a ticket. FoxAcrossAmerica.com. It is me, Jimmy Failla. It is the Fox News Saturday Night camera crew. Will be there filming it as well for the show. And you're all welcome to come on down. Saturday night, May 18th, FoxAcrossAmerica.com. If you want some tickets, we move on with the show. So the next hour of the show will contain Paul Morrow. He is a retired NYPD inspector, a current Fox News contributor, a guy that can weigh in on the particulars of the Trump case, but also get into the local level of crime that's affecting all of us because of what's happening at the southern border. You see, what we're doing on this show, it's old-fashioned, it's weird, but we're greater good people. We don't devote 3 hours of radio every day to winning an election. We try to solve problems in real time. We shouldn't have to wait 4 years to get something done in this country. We should be able to build things on the fly. So Morrow is going to come by to share his blueprint. I will try to hang at his intellectual level. No promises there. But either way you slice it, it's going to be some damn good radio. So stick around for the next hour of Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. And here we go. Back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, your home for top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. It's a lot of garbage out there. We kind of help you sort through it. You know what I'm saying? It's really wild. It's like, remember the TV show Pawn Stars? Where, you know, people bring something in and hope to sell it, and the guy gives you an offer, you know, best I can do is $7.50, okay? I comb through the news of the day, the things the TV channels are covering, the things the lawmakers in Washington are prioritizing. I sift through them and decide what you need to hear about, if only because this is a show that is not done and executed at a political level. It is a show that is very much executed at a human level, meaning what's going on in the world today? How does it affect all of us? I am in the greater good business.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Now, listen to me. Some people can't dig it. They want to be mad. They want, you know, 3 hours of somebody to be mad at. And nice thing about talk radio is you're never a click of the dial away from that. I got guys yelling right now as we speak for the next 3 hours. They're everywhere. But on this show, it's, you know, a little more old school. We're just trying to do a talk show. I don't want to be in charge. I think one of the things we're missing more than anything in our political discourse right now is diversity of thought. I mean, one of the funniest things you'll ever cover this week as someone in media is that NPR has just suspended. They have suspended the editor who said that there was a liberal dot bias at the outlet that had lost the public's trust.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Totally. Because the guy wrote an op-ed saying NPR is all about diversity, but they don't trust diversity of thought. Okay, NPR's response to his counterpoint was to suspend him. That is the greatest thing in the world. Imagine you said, Jimmy, you're an alcoholic, and I proved you wrong by chugging a case of beer in a roundabout way. I had probably actually just made your point with my defense.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, that's what's happening at NPR right now. How dare you say we don't support diversity of thought? Get out of here. Okay, but that's what's happening. Okay, and to be very clear, what is going on at NPR is embarrassing. They're a nationally funded outlet. They use taxpayer dollars and devote the entirety of their program. Do you understand? On the board, they have 87 liberals, zero. Zero, zero Republicans. They don't have one Republican.
That is correct.
So in what world are you telling me this is an entity that embraces all viewpoints? The correct answer is no world.
You are correct, sir.
But the fact that they suspended this guy for even daring say that. What do you mean, liberal bias? Said the people who killed the Hunter Biden laptop story, even though it turned out to be true. What do you mean, liberal to the people who ran nonstop Trump's or Russian coverage till it turned out to be all of that? What do you mean, liberal bias? For the people who ran with Biden's story that border agents were whipping Haitian migrants until the photographer of that viral video forced them to retract. Okay, this is who NPR is. They're activists masquerading as journalists. And we all lose in the end because nobody trusts the media anymore. The media's job traditionally was to hold people in power accountable. That was their job. But now they are activists masquerading as journalists.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Totally. So when I get on the air, knowing that most people who work in media see themselves as like soldiers in some battle for power in this country, I am trying to talk to you about issues that specifically affect you and your family at a street level today. Today. Not how do we win the next election? What do we do in the meantime? Listen, okay, the Republican Party is a laughingstock with control of the House of Representatives right now. So nobody who tells you that, you know, they care greatly about this country and they're a proud patriot, but then they just spend all day shilling for the Republican Party, those people aren't helping. Okay, the people telling you we can't work with Democrats, we got to own the libs, the enemy's already here, they're not helping. Okay, because the reality is this country is not built on agreement. It's built on tactful disagreement. The Constitution exists because it forces people with completely divergent viewpoints to find ways to work together for a greater good. We're not doing that right now. One of the reasons the Republicans want to bounce Mike Johnson out of the House is because he worked with Democrats. And they think there's some pretend fantasy land where you get power and just do everything you want. That's never been the case in the history of our country, and it's never going to be the case. So this reality that we should just not be talking to the other side, let's just throw all our energy into winning the next election, that's the business model where no matter who wins, we all lose. I say that a lot on this show, to the point of exhaustion. So I can't get on the air and just shill for a party. Okay, as you know, we say in the show every day, the things that are primal, the economy doesn't know who you voted for when you go to the cash register and it's 52% more for gas. When you go to the cash register at the grocery store and it's 25% more for eggs. Okay? Nor do the criminals know who you voted for when you get thrown in front of the subway here in New York City or pickpocketed by a migrant street gang. They don't go, oh, that guy's a Republican. Oh, that guy's a Democrat. They don't know. Record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths getting us killed. Okay? Fentanyl does not get in your system and then check your voting records. It just kills you. So when I talk to you about the border, for example, I'm talking to you about something that is apolitical, okay? You can tell me the two parties are fighting over it, but the end result, the fallout, is something that affects us all equally, okay? Unless you're one of those Democrats who has a, you know, 24-hour security detail on call. It's like when we went back to the defund the police movement, and then we found out, you know, hours into the movement that everybody telling us to defund the police had private police protecting them. Do you remember Cori Bush?
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets because we're trying to save lives.
That is so embarrassing.
It really is. She gets caught with security. She married a cop. The defund the police race lady, the race baiting lady Cori Bush, married a cop. Okay, and again, that might seem like an act of vengeance in 5 years or 10 years after they've been married for a little bit, but at the moment, this was sold to us as a, you know, she married the cop. She loved the cop. Okay, that's what we're dealing with in this moment. It's a lot of circus acts, a lot of circus acts in Washington. Okay, so when we get on the air, what I'm trying to say to you guys when it comes to big box issues, as American voters, as consumers of media, okay, the politicians ultimately do respond to what we do. They do work for us. One of the reasons they've been able to put their own self-interest ahead of ours as brazenly as they have in the social media age is it's become so much more popular to hate the other party than it is to hold your own accountable. So what we're doing is we're getting a never-ending hamster wheel where we fight for political power day in and day out, while the people in Washington that are also passing legislation and controlling spending day in and day out can continue to prioritize everything but what we need. Like when you think of the battle in Washington this week, the battle is over Israel spending and it's over Ukraine spending. Okay, is there a battle going on over America spending? No, ma'am. They're done with that. We're done with it. Didn't work out. Biden's talking about maybe an executive order. He'd like to sign one a little bit closer to the election, you know, so he can get credit for like trying to solve the problem and do so in a way that has no regard for the fact that he created the problem to begin with. Do you understand? We're in the mess at the border because Biden signed 91 executive orders undoing Trump's moves.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. And now we've had 10 million people come into the country under Joe Biden, 2 million known gotaways. Okay, and the Democrats want them here. Like you and me get on the radio and we're like, oh, they're failing to protect the country. But they don't see it that way. They're paying for these people to come here. There's a report out today, okay, that they have lawfully flown over 600,000 people into this country from foreign countries. The Biden administration is now paying for people to fly into the country. So it lowers the border numbers and police immediately grant them parole because they were flown here by the government. Now, why is the government flying them in here? Why are we paying the money to fly them in here? Because they're trying to change demographics in the census, because that changes how money is allocated in congressional districts. That also changes how congressional districts are drawn up based on population, which can help the Democrats reconfigure the congressional map and make it easier for them to win elections. They're doing that. They're actively doing that. Okay, and the people coming into this country are coming in from over 150 countries around the world. So the gross oversimplification that this is just how somehow racist because we don't want people from Mexico coming into the country. Okay, most people from Mexico know better than to come into the country. They're like, we'll stay here. If we want a corrupt government, we want lawlessness in the streets, what the hell are we going to go to America for? Why don't we just stay here? Okay, that's the reality. So when I get on the air, okay, this is a goofy show. Sounds like we're getting paid in Tide Pods and cheap tequila most days. But it's just because I'm trying to find a vibe with people out there who get it. Like, you don't have to vote Republican day in and day out. You don't have to think I'm right about everything. You just need to understand that we're badly in need of a downshift. A downshift. Not, you know, step on the gas and fight even harder. We're not solving anything. The kids have been on the playground too long. They're not capable of rational conversation. You ever taken little kids to the playground? And it's great. We're at the playground. We're playing tag. We're having fun. We're on the swings. Then about 40 minutes into the sun, okay, kids look like they're starting to get a little red in the face. And they start, one kid tells on a kid. You know, he said, I was it. I'm not it. He didn't tag me. And 20 minutes later, some kid's just crying for no reason. Some other kid's coming up to, you know. And at that point, as a parent, you realize we got to get off this playground. So I'm, you know, maybe we'll take the kids and I don't know. Well, you guys want to get some ice cream, you know. And you kind of restore order. The problem is now in social media, the 24-hour news cycle, we actually just can't get off the playground. So the fact that we just keep fighting harder, okay? Understand, what are we fighting over today? Right now, today, it's April 16th, 2024. Do you know what we're fighting over? We're fighting over the same issues at April 16th, 2024 that we were fighting over in April 16th, 1984. Okay, straight up. Okay, what we're fighting over hasn't changed. The way we're fighting over them has. Okay, that's the issue, social media. Okay, we were fighting over the border and immigration reform in 1984. Of course we were. Okay, we were fighting over Russia and how to allocate funding for military aid to foreign countries in 1984. Of course we were. We were fighting over crime. We were fighting over abortion. We were fighting over gun rights. Of course we were. Okay, the only difference now is we're all running a one-man news network that incentivizes conflict. You get likes for saying the other side is the devil. You get likes, you get validation, you get digital dopamine for taking positions that will antagonize your political opposites, and you'll get cheered on, okay, by the people who support your political party. And that's the biggest instrument of failure that we have at our disposal in this day and age, is social media champions conflict. If I go write a nice joke on social media, people will like it. But if I go say Democrats or socialists, they're destroying the country, 5,000 people will like it. It's dumb. It's red meat, but it's what Twitter runs on. Twitter is a fight club for people who don't want to get hit. Okay, and that's so much of what's wrong with our politics, is that the people covering it for a living are playing to that mindset. So you'll get on CNN and hear that every Trump voter is a white supremacist. And the few CNN viewers that are left are like, yeah, great. And MSNBC will be like, oh, they're all racist. They hate women. And MSNBC viewer, yeah, great. That's what they do. Okay, what happens at Fox, and it's, you know, one of the best things about working here, is a lot of people are duped into thinking that our party is the Republican Party.
Wrong.
It's just not. Okay, there's a lot of us that lean to the right. We're upfront about that. Our opinion host will tell you day in and day out. Okay, I'll tell you day in and day out. But the difference between us and everybody else is we want to have the conversation. So we'll let Jessica Tarlov come on the air and say whatever the hell she believes. And congratulations to her. She just had another baby. That's awesome. Okay. You know, the people who come on, Harold Ford, you know, Juan Williams, you know, Geraldo, a lot of people used to be mad at. But we let a liberal come on. Kevin Walling can come on. Richard Fowler can come on. We bring people on as liberals that represent liberal viewpoints genuinely. And the audience doesn't always like it. But you understand at Fox, we have to do that because our party is not the Republican Party. Our party is America. We want to have the conversation. And most objective observers realize that. You know, the people who tell you Fox is a right-wing attack machine don't actually watch it. Okay, they base this on their own mischaracterization, okay, that's popular amongst intellectually lazy people who just want to feel better about themselves so they can point a finger at Fox and say, they must be doing a bunch of bad things. But the reason we're the highest rated network is we're the only network that is pulling viewership from both sides of the political aisle. Is there a small percentage that's tuning in to hate us? Absolutely, because they've been fed that caricature of what this place is. But if you're watching it day in and day out, you go, wow, they're actually having the conversation. We don't cancel liberals. We don't censor them. We don't tell them they have to, you know, call themselves liberal, but take every Republican position. Believe me, if we did, you guys would be a lot nicer to Jessica Tarlov. But Jessica Tarlov can say whatever she wants, which is why whenever she's on the air, you're all looking at the TV like,
get her out. Get her out of here.
But we don't want to get her out of here because that's not the American way. And that's why it's not the Fox way.
The show that's not afraid to hit the road.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be rapping with Paul Morrow in the next break. He is a retired NYPD inspector, a Fox News contributor, someone whose opinions we value greatly here on the airwaves. It's, I got to tell you, man, it's so nuts politically with everything that's going on in this country right now. And it's impossible not to see this decline of, like, law and order. And what I mean by that is yesterday we had nationwide protests. Protesters shut down the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. They clogged the Brooklyn Bridge. They clogged O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. It made it impossible for anybody to get anywhere. Okay, understand that in this country you have a right to free speech, but you don't actually have a right to hold people hostage and force them to listen to your views.
Correctamundo.
Okay. Traditionally, cops don't let that happen. Like, if somebody has a permit to come have a protest and assemble and everything, great. But if, you know, a few hundred people just climb onto a bridge and go, nobody's moving, traditionally, okay, we, to be honest with you, traditionally, we probably,
somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Probably would have beat them up. I mean, if I was a cab driver 10 years ago, cabbies wouldn't have been giving up the Brooklyn Bridge. There's no chance we would have been giving up the Brooklyn Bridge. This is a bigger problem. This is with, you know, a lot of Uber drivers or part-time drivers. They just do it to pick up some side cash, and they're not fully invested in their livelihood, and not that they don't need the money. I mean, they're working a side job, okay, because they certainly do, and they're aware of it. But we're also so much more mindful in the social media age of what can go wrong on camera. So you wind up ceding terrain to the worst possible people. That's how defund the police came trendy. Okay, everybody was yelling cops are racist. We have no data to back that up. But it was a lot easier to play along than it was to get in a fight with these people and have a rock come flying through your kitchen window. But now we're at this impasse where those voices have gotten a little too loud and it's just time to take the streets back. So Paul Morrow will join us with a legal plan on how to do exactly that next. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, fired up to talk to this next guest, a retired NYPD inspector, Fox News contributor, founder of OpsDesk.org. I am talking about Paul Morrow. Yo, yo.
Yo, yo. How you doing?
I haven't talked to you in a minute, man. I'm going to try not to get emotional.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm reading your book, so it's like being with you.
Stop.
And I have to congratulate you on it. It's really long, huh?
Good for you. Paul Morrow taking shots at the best-selling author you know as Jimmy Failla. Listen, man, the one thing about that book that I know, and I'm these people have been subjected to too much. Like, I'm not, as guys who talk about their book too much, I'm at like a 2 on a scale of 1 to Jesse Waters, to be clear. Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Jeez. No. Waters, like, legitimately talks about his book during Dog the Bounty Hunter's book promo. I watched it last night. It was fascinating. He's got another gear.
He talks to toll collectors about it.
He does everywhere. You know, like a vegan has to work it into the first sentence of every conversation.
That's right.
Waters. Welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you? Well, you could buy, get it together. Anyway, the thing about that book, though, that I was going to bring up is I felt for a while, okay, like the cancel crowd was kind of losing, like the pendulum had swung. And now, okay, I'm at this place. I was watching the protests yesterday in New York. I watched it in San Francisco, certainly what was going on at O'Hare. And I actually do think that the people that were behind the cancel crowd, the people that are behind a lot of the woke, you know, pro-Gaza stuff we're seeing now, too, I do think they're losing the room in a unique way, meaning that book has left me more, even more. I'm more optimistic now than I was when I even finished it. Do you sense like a growing resentment of this stuff, or where are you on all this?
I do. The only thing I would say is that I don't think that they're getting the message. And I take as Exhibit A the NPR fracas that just broke out because, you know, I thought, okay, look, they've been thoroughly embarrassed by one of their own. They seem to be acknowledging it. Maybe they'll take some steps. And then we find out today that they've, in fact, suspended with some real harsh rhetoric.
Yeah.
The guy who blew the whistle on them and then are saying that any more of this and we're going to fire you. So while the nation, I think, as a whole has become more aware, they are less self-aware than ever.
That's a good point. Meaning at an administrative level, whether you're talking about the actual White House or you're talking about the people who run elite media institutions, you're right to say they're not, the old adage of read the room, but they're not even in the room. Okay, they're not in the room because what he's saying about NPR is not, you know, it was newsworthy in the sense that one of them acknowledged it. But it wasn't newsworthy for any other reason. It's not like we were like, wow, we never thought of it that way. You know, the people who killed the Hunter story or the push the Russian narrative. I mean, NPR, if you remember in the summer of 2020, if they could have, they would have defunded the cop and the village people. Okay.
That's exactly right.
That's real.
They really are. They're all in. And the good news, of course, is that we are at least partially funding all of this.
Isn't it amazing? It's like NPR is like, it's like a dominatrix. Like we're paying for the beating.
It's like we paid to bring the migrants in. We're probably paying for a version of NPR in Venezuela.
It's so true. And that's the part that I'm really like blown away by. Like if ever there was a tax day for people to really revolt a little bit, it was this year. But we're all like so fragmented and living moment to moment. I don't know that we have that collective ability anymore, because when you think of what your taxes are going for, like you spoke to the idea of like migrants getting gift cards and free hotel rooms. Did you know there was a protest downtown today because the migrants are mad that they're being shipped from hotels to shelters?
That's completely unsurprising. And I wasn't speaking hyperbolically.
Yeah.
We are paying through various NGOs.
I know.
We actually pay to fly them here. And I think that if and when the smoke ever clears, and, you know, government's gotten so large and opaque that you never really feel like you're ever going to get to the bottom of it. But if there is ever a real inquiry, a congressional inquiry, subpoena power and all that, I suspect what we're going to determine is that through a lot of these NGOs, a lot of the money is being siphoned off by hostile governments. So not only are we funding the travel of migrants here from places like, let's say, Venezuela, Bolivia, other nations that are pretty committed to our demise.
Yeah.
We're going to find out that, because they all have these mirror groups.
Yeah.
They work with the NGOs in the target nations.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to find out that, you know, we've been paying Maduro's salary all along here. We really are. We're subsidizing our own demise. It's really something to see. It's a form of national suicide.
It really is. We're talking to retired NYPD Inspector Paul Morrow, founder of the OpsDesk.org, Fox News contributor. But what you're talking about really does need to be nipped in the bud, or the next thing you know, Iran is going to be using humanitarian aid to fund proxy wars against us.
It would be completely unsurprising. And in light of the fact that we send them pallets of cash and have decided to lift the sanctions on the oil so that now they're back in the oil business. It's amazing. The only sanctions against oil that we seem to be willing to prosecute are the ones against our own oil companies.
It's nuts. But so what's so funny about the reasoning, because I was playing a clip earlier of Kirby. He's talking to Peter Doocy, and he makes the point to say, well, we've been monitoring the Iranian account where they got the $10 billion from us, and we know they didn't spend the money from that account. But, I mean, anyone listening to this, if you have a checking account and a savings account, if we give you $10 billion in savings, it probably impacts what you do in checking, no?
I mean, and not only that, but let's be really honest. Anybody who's married who tries to keep track of your finances knows that there is this black hole out there that your siblings' finances reside in. The idea that you could actually track another nation's finances, if we were so good at tracking that kind of thing, then why didn't we see the comms between Iran and Hamas, which almost certainly happened prior to 7 October?
Yep.
So you can't believe a word of that. And, you know, and Kirby, while he comes across as very reasoned and disciplined and competent, et cetera, unlike KGP, who I would argue, you know, is really in over her head. I'm sorry, but she just is. But despite that, Kirby is really no less a water carrier for, in my estimation, an incompetent administration. The idea that he is trying to lay this this conflagration in the Middle East these days and the re-rise of Iran on the Trump policies.
I know.
When Trump had them on the ropes.
Yeah, the Abraham Accords.
Preposterous. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, that was the biggest step forward in the Middle East. Somebody who dealt with this a lot, you know, I was in doing counterterrorism, we monitored this stuff very closely. And I can just tell you that there was a sea change when Trump left office, and all of a sudden the Iranians saw a glimmer of light. And it's now become a shining light because they've got a number of new finance streams.
Yeah.
And it's not going to anything positive. And the idea that it's just not going to the mullahs, and so that means that, okay, everything's hunky-dory, is preposterous. As you said, money is fungible.
Yeah, and that's the funniest part of this whole thing. It's like, well, we're watching that account. As you said, number one, they can't. But here's another thing I wanted to throw at you. You know, there's – KJP was asked about this. Basically – Kirby, the way you eloquently summated him, I agree with. But he's like the varsity. So when there's a big day, they trot him out there first, and then KJP comes in a little bit later in the presser. And that's what she did yesterday. Kirby went first. She went second. They were asked about funding a standalone bill for Israel. Now, she said there's no way the White House is going to sign off on a standalone bill for Israel. What do I read into that other than they want to shoehorn other agenda items into this spending? Is there any other way that it makes sense to not do a standalone bill? Because her claim was we can't help them as quickly if it's a standalone bill. In what world does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense. Okay. And they're being obstructionist. But what they're also doing is trying to obfuscate the fact that they are going to have to at some point here refund our efforts towards Israel, and Michigan is not going to like that.
That's the issue. I get
it. He's on right
there. So it's not about spending.
He's on the road.
It's not about spending. It's basically you're saying the optic of this is if they do a standalone for Israel, it makes them look like a bigger priority than the party wants them to be.
When did this administration or anybody in the modern Democratic Party ever worry about the magnitude of spending.
Yeah.
When was that ever the issue? This is a regime that is up late night, you know, greasing the printing presses so that they can run around the clock and continue to hand out money and forgive student loans. So now the money is never, you know, one thing about the modern Democratic Party, don't bother following the money because you'll get lost in the source.
Like Nicolas Cage is concerned about our spending right now. He's like, this is
he really?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
That's reassuring.
Yeah, can we get somebody?
You're like a comedian, right? I forgot about that.
Look at Morrow. Keep up with the group, Morrow. I don't believe you're reading this. I don't believe you're reading this book at all. I kid.
I'm up to P. I swear, I really am. I'm up to, was it President Trump is P, you know?
Stop
and
it.
Like I said, the alphabet is really long. Actually, but I will tell you, the book is very funny, and it's like being in the room with you, so your audience can decide if they want that, but nonetheless, it really
good
is.
For you!
You hear Jimmy Failla in your head. It's a lot of fun. It's like hanging out with Jimmy.
Well, the joy
it's
of
actually
this...
more fun. It's more fun than hanging out with Jimmy. Yeah, I've done both.
That's enough out of you, Paul Morrow. All I will say is, if I am tasked with writing another book, it won't be so research driven. The next book is how I got from driving a cab to where I am, at least the parts that haven't been banned through non-disclosure agreements. But but that book,
parts that are not caught up in litigation.
Huh? Yeah, it's a lot of redacted passages in the next book. But it's fascinating. And it's the last thing I wanted to ask you about. I bring up crime and redactions and everything in between just because of the Trump trial. Now, I read your summary of this on opsdesk.org over the weekend. And we've had this conversation previously. But where we're at in terms of this Trump hush money case, just so everybody is on the same page, is if the public really did watch the particulars of this trial, and I don't know that they're going to, but if they really were familiar with this trial, meaning when this agreement was signed, how they've stretched the statute of limitations, how he's trying to bump it beyond his jurisdiction to get it to a federal offense. But you basically say in the case, in order to land this triple Lindy, to put it in Rodney Dangerfield back to school, terms, that federal crime that Trump would ostensibly be obscuring, okay, isn't actually listed in the indictment, correct?
That's right. And that's really one of the more offensive aspects of this. And it's just so contemptuous and disrespectful, not just of Donald Trump, whatever your feelings of Donald Trump are, but towards the American people. This is a former president who is being raked over the coals under a completely novel legal theory that is not going to hold up.
Yeah.
But essentially what it comes down to is you need the second charge so that the first charge becomes a felony. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a felony because otherwise we're outside the statute of limitations. Now, they're at the point where the trial is officially open. They're in voir dire. They're choosing the jury. And he has still not articulated what that second charge is. Mm-hmm. And why that's so just upsetting is that if they did, once they do, and they're going to have to at some point, then that gives Trump's team purchase on filing all kinds of motions to say, because there's only a few charges that are in the ambit of this here, for Trump's people to say, Alvin Bragg, you don't have jurisdiction on that federal charge, or B, you're choosing that charge. How are you going to demonstrate that? And if you are choosing a state level charge, why didn't you list it in the beginning? So he's hiding the ball. And for a prosecution of this level, at this stature, so momentous, for him to still not to just be willing to admit this is how I'm going to do it, I'm going to hide the ball as long as I want, is a disgrace. And this judge should hang his head because he has purchase to say, we need the details of this thing. I'm not wasting the public's time, money, and energy going forward. Produce. And from what I know, nobody who's heard what that second charge is. The docket is not public, so we don't know, and we should know.
Yeah.
And Bragg has done more to damage, in my opinion, than any of the other cases against Trump. This is the most egregious, and it's really as somebody who has spent his adult life in the criminal justice system, you know, dealing with this kind of stuff. It's more than upsetting. It's disheartening. It's disillusioning.
Yeah, because it's bad in the long run for the public. And this is the one that opened the floodgates and made it trendy to indict Trump. You know, if we'd never done it in 247 years, and now we're basically indicting him for something he did in our dream, if we're not going to list the offense. There's no way it doesn't undermine the integrity of the justice system.
And remember something. Mm-hmm. He's got a DOJ attorney who came over from DOJ onto his team.
Oh, man.
And who's prosecuting the case. You know, not that that looks fugazi. Now he's got a Biden DOJ member who leaves federal practice to come over to state practice to work with Alvin Bragg. And suddenly he's the point man on this case.
Yeah.
A little too cute by half.
Yeah, really. And, you know, I thought the legal system learned its lesson when they failed in their attempt to frame O.J. Simpson 30 years ago. Apparently not, Paul Morrow.
No, we haven't learned.
If you want to hang up now, I completely understand.
I wanted to hang up 5-10 minutes ago.
That's enough out of you, Morrow. Take care, man. You're the best.
All right,
Paul
I'll see
Morrow.
You. Take care.
There he goes.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
It's the show that 9 out of 10 listeners voted the best host on radio.
I don't want to say that they were dumb, but they were dumb.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We were in the bottom of the ninth. I'm going to squeeze in two quick calls. Crystal Batts lead off because she's in North Dakota, and I'm heading there this weekend. Crystal.
Yes, you are home of the flag with Scott Cannon and his sidekick, Kevin. Hey, girlfriend. I'm looking at the Abraham Accords that were put in place by President Trump. And you look at the alliance of Morocco, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Sudan, as well as Saudi Arabia. And when you look on a map of the Iranians sending over those 300 weapons, where did it have to go over? Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and because of cooperation and strategy, you had all these jets from the U.S. and Britain and France and even Saudi Arabia mixed in there. I mean, it was a show of force, and it worked. What do you think about that?
Well, listen, no, the Abraham Accords were great. What Trump accomplished in the Middle East, we were told was like, you know, the height of ridiculousness. Like, stop it. What are you guys even doing? But you know, we had a more stable world when Trump was there.
We sure did.
But I cannot offer you stability this weekend in Fargo. Buckle up, Buttercup. We're going hard.
Yes, you betcha. But you know what? With the hostages, I mean, hey, look at the fact that they even said they can't put together 40, a number of 40 that they could release on the first phase again. Because they don't have enough live people, maybe?
Yeah.
That come in the category of women, children, young people.
But,
That's like just disgusting.
Yeah.
And we throw that in the face of these protesters, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got this conversation out of the way because it's not great for Comedy Saturday night. But I love you, Crystal. And we're going for it. So I will see you in Fargo. Let's go. Let's go. Michael wants to squeeze in before we get out of here. Michael.
Hey, buddy, sorry to hear about your cat.
Oh, Daisy the cat.
Go ahead. Daisy, 19 years. Wow.
Good run.
Hey, look, you know you're sitting on a gold mine, right?
Give it to me.
You said you have hours of unsupervised video footage of you riding around the city with Dog the Bounty Hunter. Hello, Fox Nation special, Jimmy and Dog Unchained. Come on, man. That was just too easy.
Dude, they said we're going to be able to air some of it. I don't know what. Like, me and him, Michael, you'd have been I was shocked. He was shocked. Like, we really, you know, we've never spent time alone in the car before just looking for bad guys and sharing tricks of the trade. I would imagine 35 seconds of it is arable. I guess you'll find out in a week or two on my show when you watch. Good stuff, man. Go drink a beer for Daisy the cat. There he goes. The great Michael. There we go. I am on the Ingram Angle tonight, closing the show in the 7 p.m. hour. You want to watch me on the Fox News channel. And, of course, if you want to see me live this weekend in Fargo, foxacrossamerica.com. This show is over. Pay up. Get out. Say something nice about my cat, Daisy. She had a good 19-year run. Either way you slice it, be a Republican, be a Democrat. Don't be a...
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus on Apple Podcasts Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.